welcome to 2 and 2 Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's past. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of drama. Later on, it's the Hollywood Theater of Stars from 1951. But first, the Damon Runyon Theater with the story A Light in France, a syndicated episode from August 14, 1949.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, A Light in France. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. It is of a midsummer evening not so long ago that I am sitting in Mindy's waiting for my order of potato pancakes and sour cream when I feel a tap on my shoulder. Now, I am certainly not expecting gendarmes because I am a law-abiding citizen. So I look up without a care in the world. And then I wish to leave, and leave fast. I am not able to say a word to the citizen who does the tapping, because how does one open a conversation with a ghost if one meets one in Mindy's? I sit there with my mouth open, and the ghost sits down and says...
Your mouth is wide open, Broadway.
Maury, go away. You are dead. You will not like the food here anymore.
Do I look like I am dead?
I will not argue the point. I will leave.
Sit down. Sit down. Take it easy.
Never again.
Look, Broadway, pinch me.
Definitely not.
Listen.
I have got nothing to listen to except the sound of my steps going away fast. If I am able to move.
I am not dead.
Listen, Maury, a long time ago, they find what is left of you in a ditch or in Jersey. There is quick climb in the ditch and your shoes, which are identified. The gendarme says it is you, and that is good enough for me. Now, I order some potato pancakes. When they arrive, enjoy them and give my regards to everybody who is dead.
Will you listen to me? I am not dead. I never am dead, and I do not expect to be for quite some time. That is, unless...
I do not see what you have got to think about. You are...
Not dead. And would you like to hear why I am not?
No, you cannot convince me.
Let me try. It is a very good story.
No, I will... A good story?
Very good. You will like it.
If I listen, will you promise to go back to being dead?
Sure. I know you cannot resist this story. You settle back and let me tell you something.
Naturally, it is a great shock to me to see Moore. Even if he says he is alive, I believe the gendarmes who identify his shoes after they pull them from the quicklime in Jersey. However, I am willing to listen to reason, especially if it is surrounded by a good story. And it is very good indeed. And I will tell it to you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, A Light in France.
Tells me that at the time people think he is deceased more than somewhat, he is in France, where he goes to get away from certain citizens who wish to decease him. It is in 1939 that he comes to a little town on the seacoast, a very nice place for a guy on the Lamoureux, for a citizen who wishes peace and quiet. He puts down his suitcase at a little inn there, and one night he is looking over the place when the scene is as follows.
Good evening, sir.
Huh? Who is that?
You're a very nervous young man, aren't you?
Look, come on out where I could see you. Unless you wish me to scatter some lead in your direction.
Impetuous, aren't you? Very well. Well, I think you can put that gun away.
Who are you? How come you speak English where there is nothing but French?
Probably because it was my native tongue.
Yeah? You American?
Well, with reservations. My name is Thaddeus Blackman.
Blackman?
The name means nothing to you.
Blackman.
Thaddeus T. Blackman.
Oh, sure. It is a small world.
I found it so, particularly when I saw and heard you this afternoon. For a moment, I was worried.
I guess you were.
But I fancy myself a student of, well, people. You didn't look like a policeman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is where you lamp to, huh, Thaddeus?
This is where I retired to.
Sure. With about 16 zillions of cash. I read about you, Thaddeus. You make a nice score, and the U.S. government would like to ask you some questions.
Which I am in no position to answer.
I guess not. I do not know the legal lingo, but...
It was called embezzlement. However, I was not at fault. But the officials, you understand, would not understand.
Officials are very official and narrow-minded.
Precisely. And since you seem to know that, I take it you, too, have had encounters with law and order?
Thaddeus, you put it fancy, but there is more truth than poetry.
Good. We shall get along splendidly. Now, have you a match for my pipe?
Sure. Here.
Thank you.
Someday I will invent a pipe that does not go out.
In which case, you will make a fortune. Well, shall we take a walk?
So Maury and Thaddeus become very friendly indeed, because they have a lot in common. Then it comes up the next day. Maury walks inside the little inn and sees Thaddeus sitting at a table talking to a doll. And the scene is as follows.
Hiya, Thaddeus. Nice morning, huh?
Good morning, Maury. Sit down.
Thanks.
Maury, I want you to meet Marie. Marie, this is Maury.
How do you do, monsieur?
She talks English.
I taught her.
Ah, oui. Monsieur Blackman, he teaches me the English. Someday, maybe I'll go to America, oui?
Why not, doll? I think you'd get along. Yeah, I think you would.
Marie.
Oui?
I'm all out of matches for my pipe. Would you mind?
Certainement, oui. Yes. I will be back in a presently.
Marie is a lovely girl, Maury.
Thaddeus, I have got eyes.
So I noticed.
Meaning what, Thaddeus?
I've grown very fond of Marie.
Oh, no poaching, huh, Thaddeus?
I'm afraid you misunderstand, Maury. Marie runs the inn. She's been very kind to an old man who at times becomes very lonely. Sometimes, even tired of living.
With all the dough you got, you are tired of living?
Maury, there are certain things money won't buy. That's trite, but sometimes the trite and hackneyed things are the only truth. Do you know what I'm talking about, Maury?
Not yet. Proceed.
Marie, for example. I've come to look upon her as a daughter. I love her, Maury.
You are a funny guy, Thaddeus.
But you understand.
Sure. When I was a kid, I owned a teddy bear. Every place I go, I take the teddy bear. I remember that fuzzy little thing even now. Sometimes I wish I still have it. It is like...
A symbol of what you had when you were a kid.
Sure, that is right.
Marie is a sort of teddy bear to me, Maury. See?
Yeah, Thaddeus, I see. Okay, we will leave it at that.
That is the way it stands. From what Maury tells me, this Marie is a very classy doll indeed. But Maury makes no play. Meantime, he and Thaddeus get more and more friendly. Then it comes up one day when Maury is in his room. Suddenly, the door opens.
Reach your way up, Maury.
Well, well, well. Mike the mugger.
Yeah. Brother, I chase you all over, Maury.
Uh-huh.
You give me a lot of trouble. Little Joe and Telt says to me, Mikey says, go find Maury, I find you.
Sure, you find me. So?
I got a job to do, Maury. I got nothing against you. But business is business.
How much?
Kid. I got to go back to the States, and I got to tell Little Joe and Telt that I get you.
So? Tell him.
I got to tell the truth, Maury. Otherwise, someday somebody finds out you're still kicking. And then Little Joe and Telt would say to me, Mike... Why do you lie to me? So, I gotta protect myself.
Yeah, sure.
It's always puzzling to Little Joe and Dill how you get away, Maury. He sends you out with Turkey Joe, but Turkey Joe does not come back.
They find my shoes.
Sure, sure. But they do not find Turkey Joe. Little Joe and Dill is smart. He says nothing to the cops, but he says to me, Mikey says...
Find Maury.
I find you. Understand, Maury. I got nothing against you. This is a business proposition.
Come in.
Maury, have you heard of...
Shut that door, Pop. Get over next to him, Pop.
Maury, what is this?
The kiss off, Thaddeus.
Pop, you're coming an awful bad time. Now, if little Girardot is here, he would say, Mike...
You're not
he
going
He will to... tell you, Thaddeus, that business is business.
Maybe this strikes him funny.
Cut it out, Thaddeus.
Oh, you don't understand, neither of you. You, whatever your name is...
Mike.
Very well, Mike. I'm afraid you're too late.
Huh?
If you'll go downstairs and look in the street, you'll see the town is full of French soldiers. No one can get in or out. I'm afraid this will be awkward for you, Mike.
Soldiers? What do you mean? I cannot get out.
Mike, a war has just started.
War? War?
Yes, it's come. France and Great Britain have declared war on Nazi Germany. I'm afraid, gentlemen, we're trapped here.
What Thaddeus says is true, and it saves Maury's life for the time being. Mike does not wish to take the chance because it seems he hears of the French gendarmes, who Maury tells me are really cool gendarmes. Also, he learns that in France they cut off your head instead of putting you in the hot seat, and Mike considers this a repulsive way to die. So he holds off. Then, one day, the scene is as follows.
An interesting situation, isn't it, Maury? Mike?
What are you laughing about, Thaddeus?
Three rogues. Three consciousless rogues.
I am not a rogue.
Oh, but you are. So am I. I'm wanted as an embezzler. Maury is wanted by someone called Little Gerandel, and you're a hired killer.
Yeah, it is funny.
Yeah, I do not see a thing to laugh about. We are here for months already. Little Gerandel were worried.
Trapped by a huge, vicious war. A little tiny war in the midst of a wholesale carnage. The situation has its humor. You see,
That is Marie.
Yeah, and running.
Something's wrong. Something's happened. Here, Marie, up here.
Monsieur. Take it easy, doll. What is the matter?
Marie, look at me. What's wrong?
Oh, please tell me. My boss.
The Germans? What about them?
What happens now?
Gentlemen, you think you're gangsters? Unless I miss my guess, the Nazis will come here. They'll want this harbor. Then, whatever you've seen up to now will be as child's play.
Thaddeus says that, and they look at each other. Maury will not leave there, and Mike cannot go unless he gets Maury, and Thaddeus is stuck, too. Well, what happens later is quite a strange tale, and I will tell you about it in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story... A Light in France.
Like Thaddeus says, it is not long before the Nazis move in and take over. The place swarms with them. Then, one day, about a week after they are there, Maury and Mike get a little surprised. They are taken to an office, and there the proceedings go as follows.
Sit down, boys. Sit down.
Mike, look who it is.
Well, Alfred, it is Vassakov.
Vassakov.
Well, he runs Hoochin for little Girardot in the old
days. I have the honor to serve the Reich and the Fuhrer. I am head of the Gestapo here.
Well, knock me over with a sash weight.
Okay, Vassakov, what is the pitch? Why are we here?
I found out about you the first day I was here. You wish to leave here, yes?
No.
Yeah.
You do not wish to leave mine?
No.
Well, that is peculiar. Why did... Oh. I think I see Mike and Maury.
Wait a minute. Can you get me out of here, Vassakov?
Maybe. But it costs money.
Same old Vassikup, always looking for a fast buck.
Look, I will tell you something. I advise you to leave while you can. For consideration, I can arrange it. Later, it will not be so easy.
Why not? We are neutrals. We can leave any time we want to.
I tell you, later, it will not be possible.
Why not?
Dummkopf, believe me when I tell you.
Listen, Vassikup, how much do you want?
$300.
That much, huh?
That much. Oh, I do not know why I bargain with you. I could just... And who would know?
Well, you play a nice game, Vassikup.
I do not play games. I will give you until tomorrow. That is all. If you do not decide by then, well... you have until tomorrow.
So Maury and Mike go back to the inn. There they see Thaddeus, and they tell him what goes on. Thaddeus thinks for a minute and then says...
You say, Vassikov said it wouldn't be possible for us to get out later?
That is what it says.
Uh-huh.
What are you thinking about, Thaddeus?
Come outside with me.
What for?
Come on.
What is the idea, Thaddeus? We are alone in there.
Listen.
Watch.
Just listen.
What is that?
Construction work.
So?
Today I watched laborers come into the village. Hundreds of them. And loads of concrete and steel. They're building a submarine base in the harbor.
Sure. Subs. A perfect spot for them.
Once they're built, we'll never get out. But this Vassikov, can you trust him?
Him? Oh, not very far.
But he wants money. Offer him more than the 300.
Why?
Tell him to get us a boat. Gasoline. Once we get to the channel, we can get to England.
Sure. What do you say, Maury?
What do you say, Mike?
Look, a little jerk...
Skip it. I guess I would rather take one of your slugs than one of theirs.
So, they make up their minds to take Vassikov's offer. And Vassikov says he will arrange everything. Then it comes up one night, and the three of them are going back to the inn, and they hear something.
That is Marie.
Come on.
If you do not like me,
Cut it out, Vassikup.
Get out.
Oh, Monsieur Blackburn.
You always do like the James, Vassikup.
Are you all right, Marie? It's all right.
Maybe you better beat it, Vassikup.
I give orders here. You remember that.
Keep your paws off this kid.
She has a brother in a concentration camp. All I do is offer to help him. That is all.
Oh, that is all. Huh?
What else? And you will remember that one word from me, it will be too bad for you.
Herr Vassikov, don't touch this girl ever again.
We'll leave that up to her. Maybe she wishes to help her brother. Maybe. Listen.
Planes.
English airplane.
Quick, the light. Put them out.
You're scared, Vassikov?
Put them out. I'll kill you. Put them out.
Better put them out, Maury.
Sure.
And after you do, stand at the window against the moonlight. Hurry! Now, stand still. Stupid animals. They pass right over the base.
One little light to show them the way and...
What did you say?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
I warn you. If anyone so much as lights a match, he will be shot without question.
May I light my pipe?
Now? Yes. I will go now, and gentlemen, what we have discussed has become more expensive.
Well, a couple more nights go by. Vassikov says it is hard to get hold of a boat and gasoline, but finally he tells Thaddeus, Maury, and Mike that he arranges it. And that the boat will be in a little cove waiting for them. Now, Maury and Mike do not trust Vassikov, so they decide to do a little looking around. They wait until it is dark. Then they sneak past the guards and get to where Vassikov says the boat is.
See anything, Mike?
Yeah, there is a cove, all right.
Any boat?
I cannot see from here. Listen, the English bombers again.
Boy, what they could do to that base with a couple of nice eggs.
Sure, and all we gotta do is stand up and light the way and get shot down.
Mike.
What?
Would you do it?
Do what?
Tip the Limeys?
You're crazy. This is not my war. I do not start it, and I do not wish any part of it.
I am just thinking of that kid Marie and Bessica.
Well, stop thinking about it and sneak down to the cove and look for that boat.
Yeah, I will be right back.
Sure.
Wait a minute.
Well?
Mike, do you smell something?
Hmm? Smell anything? Like what?
Take a good sniff.
There is some kind of a smell.
Yeah. Mike, you work for little Girondel.
So?
So does Vassarcup a couple of years ago.
You are crazy. What are you talking like?
Take another whiff.
You know, it smells exactly...
Sure.
Maury?
Vassarcup. Come on, we will go back and tell Thaddeus.
If Vassarcup got the boat for us and these tins of gasoline, why should he do what you say he's going to do?
Simple like ABC, Thaddeus. He takes the dough from us, lets us make a break for it in the boat, then has us rubbed out. All he has to do is scream to the guards along the coast, and boom, we are cooked and he is a big hero.
You see, Thaddeus?
Yes, I do. And he gets rid of us altogether by...
I got another idea. Got anything around here that can open one of them gas cans?
Why, Mike?
I just think of something.
Here's a knife.
Uh-huh. Now watch. I remember in the old days when Vassarcup was running hooch. There's a trick. There. It smells like gasoline, but like they water hooch in the old days, this gas is watered.
Well, old Vassarcup thinks of everything.
Will the boat run on that?
Not good.
If anybody chases us, we got no chance but watered gas.
Well, gentlemen, it looks as though Vassarcup is not such a Vassarcup after all.
Maury, got any ideas?
Yeah. Wait for him. Play it dumb. And take him along with us. See?
So they wait for Vassarcup to show up later that night. He does. It is around midnight when he comes in. He looks at him for a couple of seconds, then says...
Everything is ready. The boat is in the cove. The gasoline is here. Could not get it to the boat by day, but it can be carried at night.
Vassarcup, we are thinking that maybe you should go through the village with us, just in case we are stopped, which we will be.
Of course. I take you in my car. It is a pleasure.
I guess it is.
One more thing, Vassarcup. Marie is going with us.
What? Oh, no, that is not in the bargain.
It is now.
She will stay here.
I'll pay you $1,000.
No, for that I will not bargain. Why, you must think of her poor brother in the concentration camp. If she leaves here, I will not be able to help him. It would break her heart.
Nuts, I got enough. Maybe you think we do not tag you for a double-crosser, huh? Water, gasoline.
Get away from me.
Here, take it.
You, I fix you for this. Listen, the English bombers again. The lights, put them out. I said put them out, I shoot. Do it!
Out then.
I will shoot the first one who moves.
You know, all those bombers need is one light by the harbor to see what's going on. One light.
But there is none. Put out that match.
My pipe keeps going out, but I have a better idea. Here, Vassarcup, catch it!
Holy mackerel, he is on fire!
He is burning like a torch. That is pretty good gasoline after all.
Put it out!
Vassarcup, run! Run for the harbor, the water! It is your only chance! Run for the water! Look at him go!
He lights up the whole street!
Listen! Listen, the bomber's coming back!
Vassarcup is taking those bombers right to the harbor!
I think it's too late for them to shoot at him.
Did it work?
Hey, we forgot about Thaddeus. You all right, Pop?
I'm all right. Now.
You are hit, Thaddeus.
Yes.
Thaddeus, you certainly cook our chances of getting out of here.
Sorry.
I guess not.
Try to get away later. You take Marie.
Sure, Thaddeus. You will. But what about you?
I think I'm going to stay here.
Well, that does it, Maury.
Yeah.
Looks like his light is out.
Yeah. But, brother, what a one he lights in France.
So that is the story Maury tells me so far. But it is not ended. And what the payoff is, I will tell you in a minute. Like I say, Maury gets up to where the English bombers wrecked the Nazi submarine base, and old Thaddeus does a permanent thing. Then, Maury says to me,
"So, we get Marie and we go to the cove. There is so much excitement in shooting that nobody sees us."
Yeah, I see that, but what happens to you and Mike and Marie?
Well, Marie is back in France now, and Mike and me enlist in the RAF. We are in for the rest of the war. We pass over the little village quite a few times, and we always look down on Thaddeus.
But does not Mike wish to put the slug on you?
We hear that little Girondel is taken care of over here. So Mike figures that a deceased cannot hold him to a contract. So that is that.
Yeah, that is that, yeah. But, Maury, what is it that makes you figure Vasikov is going to double-cross you?
The smell, Broadway, the smell, I tell you that.
What smell?
Oh, well, remember I am supposed to be rubbed out by Turkey Joe?
Yes.
In fact, they find my shoes in quicklime in Jersey.
So?
Well, when I see what Turkey Joe is going to do, I object. There is an argument. He loses. I put my shoes on his feet because mine are a little worn anyhow.
Yeah, this explains everything that goes on in Jersey.
Look, once you smell quicklime, you never forget it. I smell it that night in France. That is the way Vasikov is going to get rid of us and leave no trace. Because we are neutrals and he wants no trouble.
Oh, I see.
Well, I got to be running along now. I have got to see the district attorney.
Huh? You are going to the DA?
Sure. I wish to start with a clean slate. I will plead self-defense, and it is. Anyway, I'm supposed to be dead. Maybe the DA will be glad to leave it that way.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, A Light in France. Listen in again next week for The Damon Runyon Theater.
The Damon Runyon Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated recording from August 14, 1949. This is an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now the Hollywood Theater of Stars brings forth Ellen Drew and Howard Duff in a radio play called Tang of Autumn. Duff was most famous on the air for being the leading man in The Adventures of Sam Spade, based on Dashiell Hammett's character through the 1940s, and this next program would be among his last appearances on radio due to the Hollywood Communist scare backed by Senator Joe McCarthy, during which Howard Duff was blacklisted from the entertainment industry for several years after being listed in Red Channels magazine as being a member of the Communist Party. This transcribed broadcast most likely recorded before that listing from 1951. It's the Hollywood Theater of Stars.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. Welcome to another entertaining half hour in your Hollywood Theater of Stars with the finest talent of the motion picture world and another romantic story we know you'll enjoy. Our stars are Ellen Drew and Howard Duff, and the title of our play, Tang of Autumn. This is a gay and light comedy romance, a story of a beautiful model, an important out-of-town buyer, and a wager of a year's salary against a trousseau. The curtain for Act One will rise immediately after this brief message from your announcer. Now, Act One of Tang of Autumn, starring Ellen Drew and Howard Duff. Our scene, the exceedingly private offices of the firm of Blatz, Blitz, and Blutz, ladies' clothiers. Mr. Blutz, the senior partner, is waiting at his desk as a very attractive young lady enters.
Sent for me, Mr. Blutz?
Oh, yes, Miss Sterling. Do sit down, Sterling.
Is there anything wrong, Mr. Blutz?
Why, no, not at all, my dear, not at all. Quite the contrary, in fact. We are putting you on a very special assignment.
Oh, really? What sort of an assignment?
For 1 week, you will model our most expensive gowns for Mr. Walters. Mr. J. Hubert Walters of Walters Stores Incorporated.
Exactly what do you mean, Mr. Blutz?
All you do is wear each different gown in the setting appropriate to it. For instance, during the cocktail hour, you will wear our dry martini number. Mr. Walters will be your escort and note the public reaction. And I may add, if that reaction is favorable...
You mean, Mr. Blutz, I'm to go out with this stranger?
Don't misunderstand, Miss Sterling. Blutz, Blitz, and Blutz would never ask an employee of their firm to run the slightest moral risk. Mr. Walters has no vices.
He must be very old.
Miss Sterling, age is of no consequences. Mr. J. Hubert Walters is a customer and a gentleman. Besides, there's a matter of your commission.
Sold. One Sally Sterling to a customer and a gentleman for a commission.
Why, Miss Sterling...
I'm sorry, Mr. Blutz, but you must excuse me if I'm not crazy with joy. You see, all my life, I prayed for a week just like this. 1 week out of life when I had nothing to do but be glamorous. Wear the clothes I've always wanted to wear and go the places I've always wanted to go. And now, thanks to Blitz, Blatz, and Blutz, I'm going to. On a commission basis and with a man who has no vice.
Mr. Ing!
Coming. I'd have known he'd be on time. How do you do? Oh.
Miss Sterling?
Why, yes. You're not by any chance Mr. Walters.
I am. I hope I'm not late.
Oh, no, you're not late. In fact, you're on time,
But what, Miss Sterling?
Well, I thought you were quite old. Instead, you're... Oh, dear.
Miss Sterling, we might as well be frank with each other from the beginning. This is strictly a business arrangement.
Well, whatever you say, Mr. Walters. But just one moment. I must get my little black book.
Your little black book?
Yes. You see, I am a businesswoman, too. I must make the proper entries, you know. From 5 p.m. till 7 p.m., modeling dry martini number for Walter Store Incorporated. I am ready, Mr. Walters.
Your order, sir?
Well, I don't know.
Two dry martinis to go with the gown, Mr. Walters.
You see, Miss Sterling, I don't drink.
Two martinis, waiter.
Very good.
But I don't...
I know you don't drink. But suppose, just once, for the gesture.
Very well, Miss Sterling.
And the dress. Do you like it? Green chartreuse suede with a gremlin hat. A tricorn with a jaunty feather.
Well, I don't think I've seen a dress quite like that. What is a gremlin hat?
You've never heard of a gremlin. Mr. Walters, I'm surprised at you. Look, here are my lapel. This is a gremlin.
Oh, a little man. Strange little man.
Yes, and the buttons are widgets. A baby gremlin.
Your martini, sir?
Miss Sterling, if I didn't know better, I'd say you'd already had your martini.
Oh, but surely you know about the gremlins. They live in the air and by the sea. They whip up a souffle out of the north wind and drink a grog the mermaids brew, and they torment the pilots of ships and planes. They sleep through the warm, dull months of summer and come out in the fall when the first wind rises. Don't you love the wind, Mr. Walton?
Hadn't thought about it.
There's something about that first crisp, cold bite of the fall wind that goes to my head like champagne.
Really, Miss Sterling,
It's the tang of autumn in the air. It makes me feel extravagant and carefree and reckless.
Good heavens.
Surely it must affect you a little.
Yes, it reminds me that we must change our window displays and prepare for the Christmas shopping season.
Don't you ever think of anything except business.
Miss Sterling, when one is building a career, one's responsibilities are very great. Leisure for emotional indulgence is an economic waste.
What a dreary life you must have.
Oh, it's not in the least dreary. There's golf and a little bridge.
Mr. Walters, isn't there something, Something very special that you'd rather do than anything in the world.
No. No, there isn't.
Well, isn't there anything that you really love to do?
Yes. There was, come to think of it, when I was just a kid. I loved to sing.
Oh, but that's wonderful. What's wrong with singing?
Well, I didn't have any voice, and I sang very loud.
Oh.
I sang in a boys' choir. My father had given a rose window to the church, so they had to ask me.
Yes.
And, well, that first Sunday I sang in chapel, I was so happy I just let loose.
Of course.
Sang my fool head off. The choir stopped, the organ stopped, but I went right on, singing louder, all by myself, and all off key.
Oh, how lovely of you.
Then suddenly people laughed. They roared with laughter. I stopped then, of course, and I never sang again.
Oh, what a shame. Yes, I can understand. You were afraid people might laugh at you again.
Yes.
Mr. Walters, I'm so glad you told me that. You know, I believe you are human after all.
Miss Sterling.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't mean to say that.
Well, it's quite all right. I understand. It's almost 7 o'clock, Miss Sterling. I don't want to keep you after hours. My check, please, waiter.
Mr. Walters, please don't be angry.
I assure you, I'm not in the least angry, Miss Sterling. I'm afraid I've been guilty of sentimentality. That's unforgivable. Shall I call you a cab, Miss Sterling?
Don't bother. I'm quite used to going home from work in the subway.
Miss Sterling.
Good night, Mr. Walters.
Good night.
Well, very amusing play, I thought.
Rot. Absolute rot. The psychology's all wrong.
Do you always take everything so seriously?
Well, life is serious, Miss Sterling.
And that's why it's a mistake to be serious about it. You know, the first day I went out with you, I thought there was some hope for you. Now I'm not so sure. Let's have a cigarette in the lounge.
And parade up and down among all these people?
No, I'm being paid to parade. Have you forgotten? This number I'm wearing is Entrac. Paisley print of chiffon wool. Peacock blue and green colors. They'll love it.
It's not the clothes, it's you they look at.
Well, how sweet of you to say that.
I'm not so sure I like having people stare at you. Particularly men.
Mr. Walters.
Not because of any personal reasons, you understand, but... Well, it's just the idea of the thing.
I could go out with you in a long veil, like a harem woman.
Sometimes I worry about you, Miss Sterling.
Why worry about me?
I don't exactly know, except that, well, you're so flippant about things that you've got no right to be flippant about. It isn't becoming.
I suppose you think your stuffed shirt attitude towards life is becoming.
I consider it decent and self-respecting.
I suppose I'm not decent. I'm not self-respecting.
I didn't say that.
You most certainly did.
I did not. I
heard what you said. I heard it all too plainly.
Well, you're deliberately misunderstanding me. That's what I don't like about you.
What you don't like about me? Listen to me, Mr. J. Hubert Walters. If I weren't being paid by Blitz, Blats, and Bluts, I'd tell you what I don't like about you. And it would be plenty, believe me.
Very well. You can consider yourself fired. Now tell me. I want to hear it.
Go on, baby. Tell him. I'll put $5 on you.
Oh, good heavens. I forgot where we were.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Miss Sterling, I'm not only surprised, I'm astounded.
At what?
Your behavior, Miss Sterling. Quarreling, staging a scene in public.
But I...
Miss Sterling, my wife and I were at the theater last night. We wanted to see for ourselves just how entry act took with the crowd. It took much too well. Miss Sterling, you're fired.
But Mr. Blutz, it was Mr. Walters.
Mr. Walters is a gentleman and a customer. You're supposed to be a working girl and a lady.
Not on the salary I get, Mr. Blutz. It can't be done.
You may collect your check at the cashier's.
Oh, no, not so fast. I still have 3 more gowns to model for Walter Stores Incorporated. And these gowns were made to fit me. No one else can wear them.
Perhaps I was a little hasty.
You bet you were. I'm going to wear these dresses and I'm going to sell them, too, and collect my commission. So until Saturday night at 12 midnight, I'm still an employee of Blatz, Blitz, and Blutz.
But not one moment after that hour, Miss Sterling.
And by the way, Mr. Blutz, I'm not so sure, but what Mr. Walters' interest in me goes somewhat beyond the limits of mere business.
Miss Sterling!
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Mr. Blutz. His conduct is, unfortunately, above reproach. But before the week is out, Mr. Blutz, it isn't unthinkable that I might possibly become Mrs. J. Hubert Walters.
Oh, dear young lady, your egotism is phenomenal. Your self-satisfaction colossal.
What do you want to bet me, Mr. Blutz?
Bet you? Oh, I never heard of such audacity.
My trousseau?
Very well, Miss Sterling. A trousseau. Against your services for a year. Free.
It's a bet. Be seeing you, Mr. Blutz, at the altar.
The curtain falls on Act One of Tang of Autumn, starring Ellen Drew and Howard Duff. Our stars and our distinguished cast of Hollywood radio players will return for Act Two after this important message from your announcer. Now, Act Two of Tang of Autumn, starring Ellen Drew and Howard Duff. The time, the next afternoon. Scene, the races, with Miss Sally Durling, smartly dressed as usual, in a Blatz, Blitz, and Blutz model known as Photo Finish.
Say something. We won.
Well, I can't think of anything to say.
You're absolutely white. Don't tell me you're going to faint.
I don't know. I've never gambled before. Gosh. It's fun.
Of course it is, if you don't overdo it.
Sally, there's something I want to ask you.
Yes, Hubert. What is it?
It's about, it's about I love you.
Oh. Oh, Hubert. I knew it. I sensed it all the time. But why didn't you say so in the first place?
Well, because it doesn't run until the fourth race.
You mean it's a horse?
Well, of course. What did you think I meant?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Goodbye, Mr. Walters.
Sally! Sally, come back here! Oh, my gosh! Sally! Sally! Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Mr. Walters.
Yesterday you called me Hubert.
I'm sorry I was familiar. Please forgive me. This dress is Windy Day, tobacco brown wool embroidered in bronze beads. A chapeau embroidered to match.
What? No gremlins?
No gremlins.
Well, I should think this would be a good day for them. Plenty of wind and a bite to the air and there's something in your eyes.
Hubert, I think you're beginning to understand gremlins after all.
Well, a guy can learn, can't he? Come on, let's go shopping. Oh.
Hubert, there goes your hat.
Oh, let it go. What do I care about a hat on a day like this? Sally, there's something I want to ask you.
The air is wonderful, isn't it, Hubert? Even through the carbon monoxide, you can smell the sea.
Yeah, and if it weren't for the traffic, you could hear the sound of the surf.
Wonderful. Oh, Hubert, you are improving.
Oh, there's something I must ask you.
Yes, Hubert. What is it?
Do you like dogs?
Oh.
I feel like buying one.
Well, there's a shop on Madison Avenue that has the duckiest little Celiums with harnesses, marked down from $150.
We'll buy one, harness, dog, and all. At $250 if they have one.
Hubert!
You know, Sally, I'm beginning to understand what you meant about the Tang of Autumn. It does make a fellow feel reckless. I'll tell you, we'll buy something in every shop on Fifth Avenue.
Well, it's your money, Hubert, but I only hope there's no shop that keeps elephants. Quiet, Forsythe. What a name for a dog, Forsythe.
I had an uncle by that name.
I'm sure of it. Quiet, Forsythe. Oh, he's adorable.
Well, there's four more shops.
You have so many bundles, you look like Santa Claus. Oh, Hubert, I can't go in another shop. I just can't look another clerk in the face.
Oh, just one more. Here it is, too. Cartier's. Let's go. Something I can do for you?
No, thank you. We're just looking.
No. I want a ring. An engagement ring.
Why, Hubert?
Something conservative.
Oh, yes, sir.
But not too conservative.
On second thought, something dashing.
here. The very thing, sir. The newest thing.
That's too new. Something less. Here. The perfect ring.
Try it on.
You mean... Oh, Hubert. How beautiful.
Do you think she'll like it?
She?
The woman I marry, I mean.
The woman you marry?
Yes, I've just discovered something. What I need in my life and in my business is a wife. And when I get back to Denver, I'll... here. Wrap up the ring. I'll take it.
What you need in your... When you get back to... Oh.
And here's my check.
Well, thank you, sir.
And here's your dog, Mr. J. Hubert Walters, and your bundles. Goodbye.
Sally! Oh, you can't do this. Come back. Be quiet, Forsythe. Sally! Shut up, Sally. I mean, Forsythe. Shut up. Sally, wait. You don't understand. Shut up.
Good morning, Mr. Blutz.
Where? What are you doing here? I thought
it's all over. I'm beginning my year of service free.
Sterling.
You won the bet. He's going to marry some mail order wife in Denver. It wasn't me at all. I just... Oh, Mr. Blutz, I've been such a fool. I was so sure, and the worst of it is I love him.
There, now, Miss Sterling. What about the order?
I can't face him. I just won't face him.
Mr. Blutz, I...
Oh, it's you.
You bet it's me. You stood me up. I made a business arrangement, and I expect it to be fulfilled.
Oh, is that so?
That's so. Now, you listen to me. You haven't fulfilled the terms of your contract. You still have one dress left to model. The time, Saturday night, from 9 until midnight. I expect that contract to be fulfilled.
Very well. I'll fulfill it. But only because I have to live a year without salary, and I'll need money, And that I'll make on your commissions. I'll be ready at 9.
Beautiful place, the Rainbow Room. Pretty high, though. I mean, 65 stories is a lot of building. If anything should happen.
I wouldn't worry. Nothing will ever happen to you.
Look, about yesterday...
How many copies do you think you'll want of this model? Geranium red taffeta. I hope it pleases you.
Miss Sterling, I've been thinking.
It's a splendid habit, Mr. Walters, and one that you seem to have cultivated to the exclusion of everything else.
I've come to a very important decision.
Really? Oh, hello.
Who did you speak to?
Oh, a man.
Well, I wish you'd pay some attention to me. I've something I want to ask you.
Do you want to bet on another horse?
No, I want to... Well, I... What I've been trying to say is, will you marry me?
Of course, Mr. Walters. Anything you... What did you say?
Well, if you'd stop ogling all the men in this room and pay attention to me for a minute...
I'm not ogling all the men in the room.
Well, you're ogling one of them. And I've seen him someplace before, too. And I don't like him.
I'm not sure I care whether you like him or not. He has nice eyes and nice teeth, and he seems to be lonely. And my work is over at 12 o'clock, and I don't...
He's the man in the theater lobby.
That's right. Isn't he adorable?
He's obnoxious. And if he smiles at you once again, I'll smash his face in.
Well, it's hardly his fault. I smiled at him first.
Well, I can't very well smash your face
in. Not at the salary I'm earning at Blitz, Blatz, and Blutz. Or was earning.
I've asked you to marry me, and as my wife...
Why don't you pick up a wife in Denver like you planned? You'd save railroad fare.
But I didn't plan to. Will you stop smiling at that man?
My smiles are my own, Mr. Walters, to dispose of in my own way. I shall smile at whom I please. Now he's proposing a toast. How charming. Hubert, come back here.
My good man, you're entirely too familiar with the lady I'm escorting. In the future, I'd advise you to mind your manners.
Well, if the lady is bored with you and chooses to smile at me, I can't see it's any of your business.
It happens that it is my business. She's going to be my wife.
Oh, yeah?
Hubert, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Because you didn't give me a chance.
I demand.
Now will you marry me?
Yes!
Oh, police!
We're on our way to jail.
Oh, honey, I don't care. What did you say when I asked you to marry me?
You crazy idiot. What do you think I said? Yes.
Yippee!
Please, Herbert. They'll put you in a straitjacket.
You let them try. From now on, I'm a changed man. You know that tang of autumn you talked about? Well, I'm just beginning to get the feel of it. Sally.
Oh, Hubert.
And so the curtain falls on Act Two of Tang of Autumn. Before you leave, Ellen, and ladies and gentlemen, here's our playbill for next week. Marjorie Rambo will be our star in the story, The Lady Member. Miss Rambo portrays a newly elected state assemblywoman, Kate Mulhall, and learns that there is no difference between the legislature and running of her little drugstore, and that a new broom can sweep both places equally clean. Be sure to join us next week. Until then, this is C.P. McGregor saying thanks for listening, and cheerio from Hollywood.
The Hollywood Theater of Stars, on Tuned to Yesterday, from in and about the year 1951, wrapping up this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.